I appreciate so very much the opportunity to be here with you this morning. And I ask a continued interest in your prayers that the Lord would continue to bless us together in a special way, in a way that only He can do. I've enjoyed very much preaching by Elder Lanier, my good friend, and Elder Heffington, who I remember seeing when he was a little boy, and he has somewhat grown up since then. I'm glad to be back here at Cool Springs. My experience here was one that I count dear to my soul, and at Trail Branch, I'll never forget either one of you. You're a part of me as well as these brethren that are here. And the older I get, the more I reflect on that. It's a wonderful experience for me. My preaching is kind of like a lady told me one time. I was at a place visiting, and we went to a fall festival, and she was making stew. And I got some of it, and it was really good. And I asked her, I said, "Can I get your recipe for that stew?" And she said, "Boss, there ain't no recipe. It just accumulates." And that's kind of how my preaching is. There's not much of a recipe to it, but it rather just accumulates. In the ninth chapter of the book of John, I tell you, I had something else on my mind, but after hearing these brethren, I have gone another direction, and we'll soon see if that is of the Lord or not. They've talked about the oneness of Christ with His Father. Jesus said in that great sheep sermon in John chapter 10, and beginning with verse 30, that I and my Father are one. The Bible tells me in Paul's letter to Timothy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, that is, openly seen. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, if that's the truth, and I affirm that it is, then there's not a scripture in the Bible that will contradict that truth when it is rightly divided and properly applied. The Bible tells me, and before I read that, I want to read to you from 1 John chapter 1 that reads almost like St. John chapter 1. Listen to it now. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word, capital W-R-D, as he said, the Word of life. John said, this is not something somebody saw. But he said, I actually saw him. I looked at him. My hands actually touched the word of life. I will say to you this morning that Jesus Christ was made lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. He tells us that very plainly. For the suffering of death. And then he comes to his going away in John chapter 14. And you know what the questions of the disciples were, who could never put the pieces of this puzzle together? They said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That's all we'll want to know. And it sufficeth us. And Jesus says, have I so long been with you? And you say, show me the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. What a wonderful statement. And he quoted again from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. For God do it sundry times in divers manners. That is, in different times and different ways. Spake in times past, how? To the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days... You see the plural there? Hath in these last days, and I'm going to affirm to you that that was the last days of the Mosaical economy. In these last days spoken unto us, that is the apostles, by his Son, whom he the appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, and listen, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things, he said it, by the word of his power, amen. When he by himself, don't you like that? Amen. When he by himself had purged or cleansed, comes from the word catharsis. When he by himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand. Under which of the angels did he ever say, sit at you? No. Not a one. But to his eternal Son, he said, you sit here at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, these disciples, as I said, they had a hard time putting some of these things together, and you and I have a hard time putting it together. I'd like to tell you that in 56 years of preaching, I've learned a lot, but I've come to find out I'm not near as smart as I was. Amen. There's a lot I need to know. There's a lot I need to hear about. But Jesus Christ... And when I say this, I want you to understand that some of the greatest experiences that he had during his life, they were on a mountain. The Mount of Transfiguration. And I'm going to come back to that, because that's what made me think about all of this. The Sermon on the Mount. Immediately after he was baptized, Jesus was carried up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed all the kingdoms of the earth by Satan himself. That great experience that he had after his baptism. But listen now, when he comes and he has commissioned the 12, and he comes to verse 28 of Luke chapter 9, and it came to pass. I like that. Read how many times it came to pass. Read how many times that terminology is used in the Bible. And it came to pass. I want to tell you the reason it came to pass, because God said, going to come to pass. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. What were these sayings? Jesus said that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised again the third day. After these sayings, 8 days, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. This is an instance that's never happened before or never happened since. He prayed, and the fashion, the outward appearance, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment, or his clothing, that which was on the outside, was white and glistering. Let's read it right now, not glistening. Glistering. Now, I don't know what the difference is, but I'm just going to let it say what it says. Amen. It was glistering. It was a shining. And something stranger than that began to take place. And here's what happened. And behold, there talked with him two men. Two men. Who was it? Some other disciples? Oh, no. Here was a man that they don't even know where he's buried at today, by the name of Moses, that he talked with him. Literally and physically talked with him. Here was a man named Elias or Elijah that didn't even die. He's in heaven on credit. But that's who he talked to. Listen to this now. You know what they talked about when they appeared in glory? They talked about his dying, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They talked about his dying. Isaiah talked about his dying in Isaiah chapter 53 and 12. He poured out his soul unto death. Talked about his dying. He poured out his soul unto death. My friend, I'll tell you, when the brother talked about Gethsemane and these things began to flood my mind, I want you to see and want you to understand that there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ poured out his soul unto death. Heard somebody say the other day on the radio, James, that Jesus prayed three times trying to get out of dying. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus wasn't praying to get out of dying. Wasn't praying to get out of dying. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus wasn't saying, I preached it different to this. I've had to change my mind on a lot of things. Jesus wasn't saying, dear God, is there no other way? He knew what the way was before he came. But he's saying, I've been the sin bearer from all eternity. Now, Father, let me complete the work. Amen. Let it pass from me. Jesus himself said it in that very familiar old Baptist gopher hole when he said in John chapter 6 and verse 39, for I came down from heaven. I want to tell you something today, my friend, that heaven is a place. Just as real as Danville, Georgia, or Birmingham, Alabama. Heaven is a place, and I want to tell you hell's a place. They're set in contradistinction, one to the other, all through the scripture. These folks that camp on the banks of an old hell doctrine, I want to tell you, don't bring it among us. Because we believe that Jesus saved us in connection with the Father's will set in motion and contracted before the world began to save us from a burning fiery furnace. Amen. thank the Lord that he was successful in that work. There appeared those two men with him in heaven. They appeared in glory, and they spake of decease, his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And I had never figured this out. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. I don't see how in the world they went to sleep. But they did. They were heavy with sleep. They were sleepy. And when they were awake, what did they see? They saw his glory. That's what they've been talking about. They saw his glory. But not only did they see his glory, they saw those two men that were talking with him. They didn't have to be introduced to him. Been dead for centuries. But now they looked up there and they saw him. And when they did that, you know what happened? He said, old brother Peter got happy, didn't he? He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. You know, I'm glad to be here this morning, aren't you? It's good for us to assemble under the influence of the preaching of the gospel. It's good for us to assemble together and hear the old time gospel preached. I'll tell you right now, if you got anything new to bring, let me tell you again, we don't want it, amen? We're satisfied with what we've got. I'm not saying that we don't need to learn, we don't need to study, but what I am saying is that we have got a set of standards that is not negotiable. There appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he could accomplish at Jerusalem. But when they awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. Now, when they looked up there, this is what they saw. His garments became white and glistering. The inward part of the Godhead began to shine through his earthly humanity. And they saw it. I can't explain that, but I'm like Brother Lanier, I believe it because it's in the Bible. They couldn't understand it, but they saw the metamorphosis change from the inside out. They saw that change from the inside out. Lord, it's good for us to be here. I tell you what, let's do, Lord. Let's make three tabernacles. Let's make three tabernacles. Let's make one for Moses and one for Elijah, and then we'll make one for you. No doubt Moses was a great man. Don't know where he's buried, but he's a great man. God buried him where no man knows about him, but he's a great man. Elijah didn't even die. He just carried to heaven. But I want to tell you something. A cloud came down and overshadowed those two great men. And they paled to the background. And Jesus Christ was left alone. By himself. By himself, the Son of God was left alone. And that same voice that spake at the Jordan River when he was baptized, spake again and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. I'll tell you how we have an obligation today to listen, to hear it, to believe it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. That voice that spake, then disappeared. We find Jesus then was left alone. I'll tell you, there's times when Jesus was left alone. I'll tell you, when he died, even though there's folks around, he was alone, wasn't he? By himself, he purged our sins. By himself, he himself became flesh, John 1:14, that he said the word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. He became what he had not been. I want to tell you something. There is no superiority in the Godhead.
Amen.
No superiority. But there is a priority in the Godhead. If I stand back there at that door and I open the door for you, I'm not saying you're superior to me, but I'm giving you priority at the time. Brother Craig talked about Jesus being in the creation. Well, sure he was. But God took priority. There came a time when Jesus was born into the world. Jesus took priority. When Jesus left, the Holy Spirit took priority. The Bible tells us here that there is one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. There's a man in heaven right now making intercession for you. There's a man in heaven right now with nail-pierced hands and a spear-pierced side. There's a man there. And because of that, bless your sweetheart, just as sure as heaven is happy. That's the reason that God hears your prayers, because of the man in heaven who can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Peter never forgot this experience, did he? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. When he says this, and he understands that he's got a short time here. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. That's what Brother Heffingman's talking about. Though you know them, you need to be reminded, don't you? You need to be reminded. You need to be stirred up. You know, I'm the world's worst to forget anything. And especially if I got something to do around the house. I don't know whether y'all have that problem or not. When I built my house back in the early 90s, I love to do trim work. I can't do it, but I like to do it anyway. But, you know, there's one, I got in a closet way back in the far corner of the house, and I liked about that much of the trim being put up. And I said, well, nobody ever comes back in here anyway. Nobody will ever know it. And you know, this day, I can walk in there, and that's the very first place I look. Right there. The very first place that I look is where I didn't finish anything. That's the truth. But you know, I want to tell you today that when Jesus left this world, and after he went to the cross, poured out his soul unto death, when the rocks rent, the earth quaked, and darkness covered the earth, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, I want to tell you it was a finished work. Amen. Not one inch of that veil was left untorn. It was completely torn from top to bottom. It was a finished work. Nothing had to be applied. Nothing had to be done over. Thank God it didn't. And today, that's just as real to us as it ever was. Listen now to 2 Peter chapter 1, and beginning with verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Listen, young folks and old folks alike. It is necessary that we be established in this present truth. This is applicable to us today as much as it was to these folks here. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm living, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I was telling you about that piece back there in the corner. I was painting it. I bought paint 5 years ago to paint it, never did paint. But I went out there, and it was an oil-based paint. And you know what? I opened it up, and all there was a clear liquid on the top. And I took a screwdriver, a good screwdriver, don't do this. And I began to stir it up. And you know what? The paint was just good as it ever was. It just needed stirring up. And do you know what today? You and I need stirring up.
Amen.
The inward part and the Holy Spirit is there. But I want to tell you, we need to be stirred up.
Amen.
We need to be revived. We need to sit under the sound and influence of the gospel of Christ that delivers us in times of distress, in those times that we just can't get through. The gospel of Christ does something for us. I tell you that there are times I remember in distress and everything else. Then I began to want to see the bride. I began to want to see and mingle with those members that are in particular. You know, there are times me and my wife's been married over 50 years, some nearly 52. And you know, now I get to want to see her every once in a while. Amen. I used to could go to preach 3 weeks in New Mexico or somewhere and didn't bother me too much. Now, that's just not the way it is. I remember Zion Hill Primitive Baptist Church at Douglas, Alabama, where I'm still the pastor. When we got married, she walked through. Now, I'm going to give you a text to prove this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. When she walked through the doors back there and she was on her daddy's arm, I thought she was the prettiest thing. Now, she's still good looking. Amen. Are y'all taping this? I want you to send it to her, you know. I thought she was the prettiest thing I ever saw. And she was, as far as I see. And you know, the closer she got, the better looking she got. And I still love her today. I don't know how she's put up with me all these years, but she's a lovely woman, a lovely wife. But she has. Now, somebody immediately says, well, preacher, you mean it all that's going to be in heaven's Primitive Baptist? Brother, if that's the case, ain't going to be enough to sing tenor, are they? I mean, it's going to be slim. But I'm telling you, the bride of Christ consists of those in every nation, every kindred, and every tongue.
Amen.
You misunderstand sometimes. I believe there would be folks in heaven that wouldn't know a Bible if they saw it. Never heard the gospel of Christ that you and I are blessed to hear today. But I'll tell you, we're blessed characters today because by an eye of faith that we're able to look up and we're able to see the risen Christ. We're able to visualize to some degree what he is and what he was and what he will remain for eternity. Brother Peter says, knowing that I must shortly put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, moreover I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. That's good advice. But then he gets down to brass tacks with it. For we've not followed cunningly devised fables. Yeah. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now. He reflects back to the Mount of Transfiguration. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. If you don't believe it, I deal with it all the time. I've been a witness in a lot of things in court. Character witness, a lot of witnessing. But there's a vast difference between a witness and an eyewitness. Don't you forget that. They were eyewitnesses. Peter said, I was there. I've not followed somebody's cunningly devised fable to draw you away from this, but I was an eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He acknowledged him as his eternal Son. He acknowledged him as that. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard it. We heard it when we were with him in the Holy Mount. As good as that was, you'd think that'd be all they'd need, all we'd need. And it was good. I wished I'd have been there. I can't grab hold of what it would be to have been there to saw and see the inward part of the Godhead shine through his earthly humanity. I can't put that together. I can't grasp that with my mind. But as good as that was, Brother Ronald, we have something better. And what does it say? We have also a more sure word, a prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, and like a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Oh, brother, I want to tell you today, this morning, when I began to see that, when I was a young man, you know, I was raised in the church, and there were a lot of things that came up that I wished hadn't came up back then. But a lot of things that came up, and I want to tell you, when I began to see the church for what it was and believe it for what it was, you know, I began to see those old folks come up on meeting day. And some of them would get out and be on crutches. They'd be young, they'd be old. Drive up on the church ground, those little narrow windows be raised, and hear a house full singing. How firm a foundation are that old hymn, did Jesus die and bear the cross for me? I tell you today, that memory floods my soul. I'm able to see it today still and hear those old preachers preach. Paul began to say this in Ephesians chapter 3. Give me about 8 minutes in Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible says this. Listen to what Paul says. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that is the grace of the ministry, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? That is, it can't be traced. Romans 11 and 33 says, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Amen. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. For this reason, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, listen to this, it's going to be the most important thing I say this morning. To the intent that now in principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He didn't say the church had to make it known. He said it was going to be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according or in agreement with the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was a mystery that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. But now after the resurrection of Christ, after he had gone through all that the prophet said must be fulfilled, then this mystery, the church was given its marching orders, and they began to preach. But I'm going to tell you, as good as the gospel is, I'm going to tell you, it can't remove one sin, can it? The gospel is a proclamation and not a proposition. We hear it all over the world today that the gospel is a proposition to the dead sinner. Brother, I got a better story than that. And that is that the gospel is a testimony of what Jesus has done and will complete that in its entirety. The gospel is that wonderful message that we love and we labor in this kingdom for. And may God help us to continue that. May God, in his wonderful power, may we continue to follow him in this new order. Give me 5 minutes. Here we go. Matthew chapter 19. He just dealt with a rich young ruler. And they asked the question in verse 25. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said this. With men, this is impossible. We can say amen. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What's in it for us? We've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Remember what we think about regeneration. We normally associate that with being born again, don't we? That's not what it means here.
Well, that's right, Brother Ricky.
No, that's not what it means. Right. You that have followed me in this new order. There was a new order established. It's not like it was under the old covenant. The law was good for what God gave it for, but it could never take away one sin. And the weakness of the law was shown by the repetition of the sacrifice. It had to be done over and over and over again. But this man, when he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down. All right? You that have followed me in the regeneration, go into Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Notice the terminology in Hebrews chapter 9. If you'll go back and you'll begin to read, he'll go through all those rituals under the law. The things which we have taught to you, those things, we have a high priest. The Bible tells us that. Who is sit on the right hand of God. He comes to chapter 9. And then he says, then verily the first covenant, with its divine ordinances and worldly sanctuary, it was all there. But listen now at what else he says. He comes and he said, those things stood only in drinks and meats and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Here was a Reformation that John Calvin didn't have anything to do with. Here was a Reformation that Martin Luther didn't have anything to do with. This was the new order that the risen Lord had set up. And on the banks of the Jordan River, the church had its roots and it began to expand. And after his resurrection, they began to preach in no uncertain terms. And what a wonderful message that was. And I'll tell you what a wonderful message it still is today.
I love it. And you know what it'll do? It'll save you, won't it? It'll save you, yes, sir. Paul preached it like this, and I'll bring these remarks to a close. But listen to the terminology that he uses. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Brother, I want to tell you today, there are some folks in this world that are caught up in its foolishness. And they need delivering. That's the reason we preach the gospel. I don't preach the gospel. These men that are here, they don't preach in order that God be more glorified than he already is. He doesn't have to do that. But I want to tell you, we preach the gospel that it might feed the sheep and save those that are in bondage to this world. And I tell you, every prison is not made up of iron bars and concrete walls. Some of it is alcohol. Some of it is drugs. And the list is too long, but you know there's some folks in bondage to religion. There's some folks that are in bondage to religion. They carry a burden on their shoulders is too heavy for them. They carry a burden they've got in their mind that we must do something. We must meet some condition in order that our souls be saved. Brother, listen. Jesus Christ has met every condition that God demanded. And you've been set free. Not free to do anything you want to. Somebody told me one time, I said, "Brother Rick, if I believe like you old Baptists do, I'd just go out and do anything I wanted to." If you believe like old Baptists did, you wouldn't want to do anything you want to. Amen. I tell you today that when Peter, James, and John went to the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw a sight that no man had seen. And I'll tell you this today. When you come to the house of God and the Holy Spirit comes down, you'll see something man just don't see. You'll see, you'll hear a message that men just don't hear. It'll feed the soul of the hungry child of God. And in a wonderful way today, I felt that here today. Oh, listen, today is a great day. It's a great day for us. It's a great day for us here at Coob Springs. It's a great day for me to see these brethren that have been mainstays in my estimation for our people. And today, my friends, I want to encourage you to be reminded and stirred up under the influence of the Holy Spirit and rejoice in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and be diligent in those things that we believe and understand. What a glorious gospel that is. What a glorious principle we have. And how wonderful it is to be with you here this morning. Thank you, and may God bless you.